This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. This morning with me, I have Martin. So I'm going to let Martin take it away.
Good morning, everybody. And Gwen, thanks for having me on the show today. It's a great opportunity to share experience and maybe exchange some knowledge. For our listeners, I'm Martin Baumeister, originally from Germany. I've been in the US now for well over 16 years. And I've had quite a journey getting here. And I strongly believe that what got me here is what I would call manifestation today. Back then, when I started manifesting that one day I want to live in the US, I had no idea what that even is. But it's always been my dream to live in the US, which I'm very grateful for to have accomplished, and that my job and my company actually gave me the opportunity to get here. And being here means the world to me. And it's interesting because my wife had the same dream. She always wanted to live in the US. So our dreams actually came together. I'm with a great company, company Continental or Continental. We're an automotive supplier, successfully established as a global supplier, one of the biggest suppliers in the world. And I have to say the culture of Continental is right down my alley. We are built on values that we live and support, as well as great people focus, which I enjoy. And I've grown into a leader that enables people to be successful and add value to our society, our customers, basically all our stakeholders, as well as our own employees, meaning myself, my team, and so forth. So setting up my team for success is my greatest achievement when I see that happening.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What is your greatest achievement in life?
Mm-hmm. So if I look back over my career, what I'm always very proud of is when I see one of my team members excel and succeed and be happy with it. So when I see them really enjoying what they are doing, when I'm sensing that they love what they do, and when they succeed, when they get a promotion, when they get what they want to accomplish, that to me, what I would call today is an achievement. Those are my greatest achievements. So for instance, 2 years back, I had one of my employees get an incredible opportunity. And she was probably one of my most critical team members at the time. And getting that opportunity, of course, was awesome for the employee. At the same time, it was a critical step for my team, because her moving out wasn't easy to compensate. And at the same time, we did it. We brought somebody in who filled the big shoes just fine. And my team member moved on and continues growing in her career.
Well, when you look back on your life and the employee you work, do you have any regrets?
Do I have any regrets? The number one thing I keep thinking back to is in 2.5 years ago, we lost our son, and we lost him to drugs, which that was the hardest time in our lives, when I was actually on a business trip, when I got the phone call from my wife that she was just called that our son passed away because of an overdose. And now I keep asking myself, what could we have done differently to prevent that from happening? Can I put my finger on what we could have done? No, I really can't. But that's the one regret I keep having without really knowing what it really is, but questioning myself on that area. And at the same time, what it did for both of us is that we are much stronger people today, especially on the spiritual, on the mental side, that we have a much, much stronger connection to ourselves now, as well as to each other and to other people. We value life even more than we ever did before. To your question, that's the regret I have without really knowing what exactly the regret is. It's more this general feeling that we failed him and that we should have done something different, that I should have done something different at some point in time to prevent or to basically keep him alive and prevent him from going down that path of becoming a drug addict and getting involved with the wrong people.
Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So is drug addiction prevention one of your big missions in life since you personally experience it now?
Yeah. No, you're right. And of course, I keep telling that myself too. And the thoughts still come back. At the same time, we feel that he's with us, which is interesting too. I have never experienced anything like that before, that he's always around us. He's actually watching over us too and helps us out here and there and sends us little signs. And especially my wife is very sensitive to pick those up. And that's good. Makes us feel better. He's in a better place today. So we've also read a lot about past life regression and we both believe in coming back. People will come back and we now are convinced that this life was just not meant for him to extend any longer. He has new challenges ahead of him and he is going to live another great life somewhere else.
So, okay, someone who's listening to this podcast and is suffering from drug addiction, what would you tell them from the parent side? I mean, what can we do as a community to prevent drug addiction?
Of course, I don't have the ultimate recipe. I'd say the most important thing is be there for your kids. Listen, really listen to what's going on in their life, what's happening, who they are getting involved with. Make sure you catch the signs early. And the one thing I keep thinking what we could have done, what I could have done is finding out what he is passionate about and get him involved with a sport, with an activity that he really loves to do. He was a very smart person, extremely intelligent, and he never cared for school much. And we never were able to find his passion. So he always ended up doing stupid things, let's call it. So really find out what your kids love and support them in their passion. And if I look at our two daughters, that's what they do. They're both artists. One is a painter and into pottery and all kinds of artistic activities. And that's what she does. She went to college for art and design and she's a very passionate artist and she's working hard to make a living, which is a big, big challenge, but that's where her passion is. And of course, we could have pushed her into doing something else where she can easily make money. But if she doesn't love what she does, she will regret doing that. And my other daughter is a dancer and she wants to do nothing else but dance. And she's been so far very successful in her college career. So really understand your kids, let them do what they love to do, but make sure that it's not something stupid and they get involved with the wrong people.
Yep, that's the best. That's the best advice we can give. And if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
If I had to be what? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Educated. Educated.
Oh, educated. You know, I always keep saying my wife is my role model. She is somebody who knows a lot about health. She takes care of other people. She's a very, very compassionate person. And we're complementing each other tremendously because I'm more a logical person, very driven, very, very business oriented. And over the years, I've become more about people and helping others out. So I found a much better balance than I used to have. And it's because of my wife, and she's also somebody who is very health conscious. So to me, I've already found somebody who educates me daily. She also challenges me on some of the things I do. And so I have the person at home, which is awesome.
And as we tie this interview up, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I'd be curious. I read a little bit about your story, and I know you have, and I don't know whether I pronounced it right, cerebral palsy. And I found
palsy.
It fast. Cerebral palsy?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yeah. I found it fascinating how you've founded this podcast and how you've read the books, wrote the books and so forth. So would you mind sharing how you came about getting where you're at today?
Well, of course, my legal name is Lynn. Given that name came from my paternal grandmother's, my mom's mom. So basically, my paternal grandmother. And basically, I instilled a winning spirit, no pun intended, from day one, which day one of cerebral palsy was 1987, June 22nd, 1987. But I did not find out that I had cerebral palsy until I was in seventh grade. Quite frankly, I did not find out officially that I had cerebral palsy. I didn't find out until I was 31 years old that I was officially diagnosed with cerebral palsy. That's another short, long story in itself. But I am a trust fund baby, and I will be working with that trust fund, working until the day I die, making money until the day I die, even though I have a trust fund. And what happened was I needed a psychology test. And through me doing that psychology test, the psychologist put my diagnosis right on the piece of paper. I always knew I had cerebral palsy, but it wasn't until I was 31 years old that I got my official diagnosis by reading the psychology test on myself. And that was fascinating to me, that my parents pushed it under the rug so much so that they told me I had CP and left it at that. And God knows I love my mom, but my biological mom didn't told me in a way that she shouldn't have, and she did it in at the bottom of a driveway at the private school where I went to as a student and now I work at. And she looked at me one day and said, "You have CP. Now go have a nice day at school." I'm like, "Really, Mom? Really? You just changed my life forever." And now you're dropping your kid off at school and saying, go have a nice day. Yeah, I almost killed my mom for doing that. But the fact that my parents pushed it under the rug so much that I thought I was able-bodied. I mean, there were times I quickly discovered at age 6 that something was wrong with my body, but all my life I was raised as an able-bodied woman, went to school with able-bodied kids, didn't know what the heck special ed or special needs were until I was in high school, quite frankly. Didn't know what the heck an individualized education plan was until I was in high school. And I am going back to college to get my journalism degree as we speak. And I am treated no differently as compared to my classmates. That my teachers pushed me as if I was a normal classmate. And even though I'm taking classes online due to my disability, and even though I am on a special needs assessment plan, IEP, in high school, in college, my teachers still treat me as if I'm able-bodied. So that being said, I was raised able-bodied, wasn't until I was 31 years old that I realized, hey, I do have a disability, I do have a diagnosis, and here I am being the champion for a voice for people that can't speak and people that can't do it on their own, voice for the voiceless. But I feel like being raised as an able-bodied woman, even though my mom did it in a weird way, has made me a stronger person.
Fascinating. Now, you just said something interesting, and I'm curious, do you have what would be your number one recommendation for people when interacting with others who have a disability?
Well, my number one recommendation is let the disabled speak to you, because 9 times out of 10 there was AIDS, and the AIDS wanted to speak over them, or the AIDS will say speak to the disabled, and don't treat us as if we're a box of rocks. That drives me nuts when people it doesn't drive me nuts when people pronounce my disability wrong, quite frankly. But it does drive me nuts when people treat us dumber than we actually are, because a lot of the disabled community has college degrees. I know people who have sociology degrees. I know people that have social work degrees. I know people that have journalism degrees, IEB, and I know people that have all these different degrees. It may have taken them a little bit longer to get their degrees, but life gets in the way.
That's a great message. I think that's really important for everybody to hear, since this is something which, I believe many people just don't know, and they're doing the wrong thing. And this is an awesome message. Now, what is it you are proud of? What would you say is your biggest accomplishment?
I haven't yet to get my biggest accomplishment done. My biggest accomplishment will be finishing my journalism degree in December.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I wish you good luck with that. I hope that
Oh,
all
thank
works
you.
out. And I'm sure it will. If I look at your story, I'm sure it will. You seem to be very, very driven and
Well,
very focused on what you want to accomplish.
yeah, but at the same time, there's very few women with disabilities doing a podcast, there's a bunch of guys out there doing a bunch of podcasting work, and there is actually a disabled man, and all he does is talk about sex with a disability, which I think is a very cool concept. And his podcast is Disabilities After Dark, Andrew, and he's out of Canada. But very few women are doing podcasts, and very few women with disabilities are doing podcast on cerebral palsy. I mean, when I started this podcast, there was nothing on cerebral palsy. When you type it in, there was nothing on cerebral palsy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you've been doing that since 2011, is that correct?
I wrote a book in 2010, I Come a Win, and that did so well that people started asking me questions. How do you deal with cerebral palsy so gracefully? And I said, they opened a can of worms, which led me to start a podcast, which, you know, led me to where I'm today, going back to journalism school and continuing this podcast.
And is there a podcast that you did, one of the many you've done, or a few of them that you would recommend for the listeners to absolutely listen to, because it's one that you totally loved, or there's a message in it that you would like for everybody to know?
Other than yours, I have two. One of them is way back on the feed. It's Will from the TV show Modern Family, and we get into how he was a war veteran and how the VA isn't treating war veterans, and we just have a natural conversation. Will from Modern Family. And then episode I did yesterday with a longtime girlfriend of mine. She's been over, she's been my girlfriend for over 10 years on and off, and she has CP as well, and so we give the women's perspective about CP. Another one is with Fox Tranger, I think is his last name, and he also has cerebral palsy, and Fox gives the guy's perspective about cerebral palsy. So, and those Alyssa's out today, and Fox is out on the feed, and Will, of course, is on the Will from the middle is on the feed as well. So if you guys want to go listen about cerebral palsy from the women's perspective or the guy's perspective, you're more than welcome to it. If you guys want to listen to why I'm an Army, I'm a huge fan of the Army by granddaughter. Yeah, go listen to Will's episode. And those were the episodes that I would recommend that people go listen to, other than yours.
Awesome, awesome. I will definitely look those up and recommend to others as well to listen to them once
and
I get a chance to.
Where can people find you? Where can people get a hold of you?
I'd say the probably the best place to contact me is on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. My goal is to support others. I have a lot of experience built up in leadership and in other areas, and I'm sharing those. Right now I have a daily post about being happy in life. So little things, little recommendations daily for people to do to make their day a little better. And I'm more than happy to be contacted on LinkedIn. Send me a direct message on LinkedIn. Look me up. Ask me questions. If you need any advice or any help, I'm happy to support where I can. And I'd say that's the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to learn a little more about me, there is a blog that's called People at Continental or People at Continental. And I have several articles posted there as well, where I talk about my career and my life pretty openly. Those are the two places I recommend to look at.
So, one more question, and then I'll let you go. Are you doing anything for preventing drug abuse? Are you doing anything in that community or not yet?
Not yet. So that's an area which actually my wife and I had been talking about quite a bit, and she's contemplating to write a book. And what we are doing is we're supporting charities that who support and help. And I would say that's the extent of it. We haven't gotten any farther than that.
Well, you guys, if you want to reach out to Martin, you're more than happy to on LinkedIn. And of course, if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn, you're more than happy to. I'm under Wynn, WINC, C as in cookie, from Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. I figured that was the easiest way to do it. And so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and please share this episode out with friends and family who need it, especially those who are going down the not straight and narrow path to drug addiction. We want to stop those who are going down that path, because drug addiction is nasty. It takes 1,000 people away from us a day, I believe. And Martin is one of the parents who lost his son, and so we want to stop it the best we can. And I appreciate you guys listening, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And we will have more of Martin's information in the show notes. And my new book comes out tomorrow, Smile with Dictation. And I hope you guys enjoy that. That's about all my secrets, how I write this book and how I do all my books. Maybe I should write a book on how to do podcasting. You guys don't know, that book may be coming out after I finish journalism school, but hopefully my new book will be pushed through tomorrow to all the aggregators, so you will see that floating around on Twitter, floating around on LinkedIn, of course. And you guys are welcome to retweet it, buy it, and have fun with it. And now is the time to write a book, you guys, on losing a son to drug addiction or whatever you please. And I just hope you enjoyed this episode with Martin and I. Thanks to you guys.
Thank you, and everybody have a wonderful and happy day.